Welcome everyone to episode 3 of Big League Chewers. Today we have a great episode for you. Haps and Craps is making its return. Our winners and losers of the past week. A team, a player, a city, a fan base, a person, whoever you decide. Then we're not going to waste any time. We're getting right into trivia. Same as last week. Guess the player. 10 questions. You guys will be on the clock. And then, Evan, I'm seeing your notes to the show sheet. We'll just ignore that. We'll talk about the schedule dilemma.
That means what it is, then.
I have an interesting topic at hand for the schedule. Something that you guys won't want to miss. All coming up next on Big League Chewers. All right, everybody, welcome in. I'm Jacob Maurer, your host, as always. And to my left, starting off, we got Evan Katz returning for the third straight episode. Evan, how are you doing?
I'm just happy that I have the most consistent attendance right now, besides you, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, we're just on top right now. 5 stars for all of us. Zach Phelps, you'll make your return this week. How are you doing?
I am. It's good to be back. I'm licking my wounds from the Detroit Red Wings yesterday. But
yeah, that was a little salty.
Hey,
yeah,
good thing for you, this is a baseball podcast, so
yeah, exactly.
No wings will be mentioned. Nick, the White Sox fan, are you okay?
We won one game today.
Way!
Thank you.
Number 3 on the year.
Yeah.
Who'd you guys beat?
The Royals.
Yeah, dude, I like that. Even better. All right, go Sox. And then, of course, Aiden, the Dodgers fan, making another return.
It's not going good, guys. This Dodgers team is not looking good. I think it might be time to abandon ship.
You know, I remember in that pilot episode when you said they were going to go 162-0. What happened there, pal? It wasn't even one of the last 4 teams undefeated. What's going on here?
Well, first of all, we started early in Korea, so because we got a head start, so like it's kind of hard.
Okay, but you could still be undefeated.
Okay, well, we didn't go undefeated.
Exactly. So,
womp womp. Well, we'll get into our first segment, Haps and Craps. We're gonna recap last week, talk about our winners and losers. Last week, Evan got a little mad at me for going first.
Hey, because usually I'm on the opposite side, so usually I go first.
To avoid the rage and permanent damage to any of my vehicles, I'm going to let Evan go first. We'll start with Haps. We'll start with the happy part of the week. Evan, who do you think won the week?
Well, I'm going to go with the AL Central. Everyone besides the Twins and the White Sox. Yes, I saw that eye roll over there, Nick.
Come on, man.
The Guardians, who expected the Guardians, Royals, and Tigers to all be 12-6, 12-7, 10-8? Who could have expected that to start the year?
Ball knowers.
Like you?
No,
I had the Guardians winning.
I had the Tigers winning.
I mean, I had the Royals winning.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you had the Twins.
I did not.
Yeah,
have the
Twins. Have
it is on record.
Yeah. I'd love to see this instant replay.
Check the Instagram account.
Yeah, check the Instagram. Oh, Twins.
You really pulled that up that fast, eh?
All right, Zach, who do you got winning the week?
I've got Boston Red Sox pitcher Cutter Crawford over the last 2 games, which, oddly enough, the Red Sox lost both. That's not his fault. 10 innings, 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 12 strikeouts, and starts against the Orioles and the red-hot Cleveland Guardians.
Stuff you love to see if he beats Cleveland. Good for the Detroit Tigers. And a cool name, too. Cutter. Nice.
Yeah,
all right,
absolutely.
Nick. Who won the week?
I got Jackson Holliday.
Making his debut?
Yeah, he got it. He got his first hit in front of his dad, too. I mean, I can only imagine what his dad's doing right now. You know, he's been in the big league, won all that success, and I was seeing his son do the same thing. It's really cool to see.
Okay, you guys want to reenact that? I'll be his dad. Who's going to be Jackson?
I got to be Jackson.
Okay.
Okay.
So, who's going to be the pitcher?
Should I be the pitcher?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Give it to him.
I got to be lefty, too.
Oh my God, that hit me. My son. I'm so proud. I've never made it to the majors. Oh wait, I have. He's so close to my hits. Oh wait, he isn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a perfect reenactment.
Was that like a reenactment of like a Bally Sports interview where you see like Johnny Cain just running in the middle of a piece and interviewing someone?
Do we think that Mr. Daddy Holiday has like a big like voice that I just why did I go light on that?
My son, woohoo!
All right, Aiden, who won the week?
Well, I hate to say it as a Dodgers fan, but it's Michael Busch. You know, he five straight games with a home run. He absolutely dominated lately. I think the streak ended yesterday or the day before, but he has been on a tear lately, and it's a shame. And I also heard that he possibly could have went to the Tigers with the E-Rod trade before that fell through. So if just
that's a womp womp.
I think
in
everyone
chat.
In this room has a strong hatred for E-Rod. So
is that like, I guess, is that a crap towards us? Is that like just
yeah, he's
redirecting
he's still
it?
No, that's my app. No, that's my app. Michael Busch. And I just wanted to talk about how much I hate E-Rod.
That name brings up PTSD.
Jacob, he's trying to throw shade at us because we'll randomly throw shade at him during the show. So yeah. He's just trying to toss it right back at us.
Well, don't worry, Aiden. I won't throw shade on you for my hap. I'm going with the Washington Nationals. The team that was projected to be in last place in the NL East went to Los Angeles and took the series against the scary Dodgers, including a shutout. The first shutout against the Dodgers or the Dodgers have faced in quite some time. Oh, baby. The Washington Nationals. Woo! Just, you love to see it. So happy for the Nationals. I'm so glad it's the Nationals. I'm totally not focused on the team that they played. It's just the Nationals. Woohoo, go Nationals.
Yeah, whatever. I got nothing. That was brutal, man.
All right. Crap. Team that really stunk it up.
Well, Jacob, this is not a team. This is a company that really stunk this up. Mm. This is Cure Auto Insurance.
Give us some context.
All right, so...
What? Out of everyone, we're going with Cure Auto Insurance.
Way to start it off.
And I'll tell you why here. So at Comerica Park, there's a significant building that usually displays the whales on it. The lovely whales that get displayed. But Cure Auto Insurance decided to cover it up this past week in favor.
Evan, how beautiful are those whales?
Those whales give the Tigers good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, the Tigers almost won a pennant with those whales.
But they decided to cover up this week in favor of the NFL draft. And I'll give you a quick stat. According to Jason Beck's unofficial math here, when the whales were uncovered after the Rocket Mortgage Lunchable ad was on the whales.
Just last year.
After the Storms knocked that off, the Tigers were 27-15 since those Storms exposed the whale meal again. We started the season off strong. The day that was uncovered, we lost two games, including a 12-inning weird masterclass from Zach McKinstry, giving up a zillion runs off an error and a 3-run home run. So, you know, this L has to go to Cure Auto Insurance this week.
I will say also on Cure Auto Insurance, I feel like their ads, they just spend their money getting the athletes and not in actual production, because they are some of the worst acting ads and put together ads you will ever see. Like, if my TV wasn't already muted,
yeah,
it is when I see a Cure Auto Insurance ad.
You hear Cade Cunningham in a press conference and he's like, "So, Cade, what do you think about Cure?" And he's like giving this like,
"Cure Auto Insurance is my number one pick."
The second I see Jared Goff, I just look away. Jared Goff is also in there.
He's the new victim. No.
But when the whales are uncovered, Tigers win. When they're covered, you get into some little stressful situations, friends.
I agree. Cure Auto Insurance is definitely the cause of the Tigers' struggles and nothing else.
No, 100%. Right. Definitely not the offense. No.
Oh. All right, Zach.
And there you go. You just stole mine. We're staying local, and it's the Tigers' offense. It really makes me want to bash my head into a wall. It's 3 games this year with over 6 runs. That's just not good enough. The game one of the doubleheader against Minnesota, 2 straight innings with runners on third and 2 outs, and we can't get it home, and they lose the game. And it seems like just nothing before the eighth inning happens on offense every single day. Can we do anything before the eighth inning, please? That 1-0 game against the Rangers, just awful. So my loser is the Detroit Tigers offense.
I agree with that. Not saying that that's my crap, but yes, they are big losers.
I mean, hey, the bullpen's doing nice. The offense, on the other hand, swing and a miss and a slider on the 0-2 count all the way in the dirt. I don't know who I would be talking about there, but anyway.
Does he play a shortstop?
Perhaps.
Are we paying him over $100 million?
And he perhaps got mad at the fans this week for, like, being booed.
Rightfully booing him?
Yeah. Results? I don't know. Who might this be? Definitely not a Javier Baez type name.
No, not for sure. It's just slipping my mind right now.
No.
All right, Nick.
My crap is the White Sox, just organization in general. We're just pitiful to watch. We're starting Kevin Pillar every day right now, if you guys don't know who that is. Yeah, Kevin Pillar. He said earlier this week that, you know, last year he could have fired Pedro Cafall, but he wanted to wait a year so the dead money wasn't as big as a hit as it was. Cheap SOB. But guess what? We got pretty cool Shamrock milkshakes. Wow, come to the ballpark. No, hey, let's not go to the ballpark for those, please.
Our wonderful announcer that we took from you has a great meme of him drinking that milkshake. And the caption is me, and then the milkshake is Tigers baseball. So Jason Benetti slurping that Tigers baseball that you no longer have. Who's your announcer now? How are you liking him?
I don't even know his name.
Oh, wow. What a fan
not
you
really,
are.
Not really.
Okay.
Steve Stull's old, too. Like, we're just bad in general. Like, no one goes to the games. I wonder why, Jerry. Sell the team. Move the team already.
Oh, wait, you
want them gone?
Yes.
Where would you like them to move to?
Oakland. Oh, the South Loop.
Oh, and you're going to have a move to Oakland?
No, there's a place in Chicago that's open that we should move to there.
Okay. So, still stay in Chicago, yeah, just move stadiums?
Relocate the team, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I hope
you're doing okay.
Sleep well at night.
He definitely thinks that the White Sox should be losing, just for clarification. That just hope you're feeling okay is just a friendly.
Yeah, we won today 2-1. Wow, 2 runs and won a game. Congratulations, boys.
All right, Aiden.
My craps is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
Should I say
the Los Angeles Mookie Betts? Because this man is leading the team in not only the MVP race, but every category, leading in batting average, home runs, RBI, on-base percentage, and hits. I mean, is there anyone else? If we have runners in scoring positions and Mookie Betts isn't up, you might as well get the gloves on, boys, because you're not doing nothing. This team is pitiful. You're 12-9. You're probably not even the second best team in your own division right now. So it's disgusting baseball these guys are doing. I can't watch Max Muncy fumble another baseball or Gavin Lux overthrow first base again.
Sounds like you got to get a first baseman that can scoop a ball bouncing in the dirt and catch it.
Oh, I love Freddie. Freddie's great, but these guys, Max Muncy, Gavin Lux, I mean, Mookie's awesome, so I'm not going to disrespect Mookie. And then Miguel Rojas, I mean, these guys are just bums. It's like watching single-A baseball. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting.
Hey, the Lansing Lugnuts are decent.
They could probably beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series in October.
I don't know if they can. I watched a game this weekend that they had more errors than hits.
Well, if it's in October, you never know. With the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's good.
You never.
Aiden, I like your new mindset. I think that is what all Dodgers fans should have. Just get rid of the team.
Just sell it.
Sell the team.
It's time to give up.
You guys want Shohei? You can have one.
We're just going to AAA.
I don't know if I want that drama.
Yeah, you can have anyone else.
Okay. My crap, it's pretty serious. I just need to find the numbers on this.
Need two drips? Like, what?
Okay,
what?
So...
this crap was pretty serious.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. So, there were 10,559 victims on Monday. And on Monday, it was 75 degrees outside in Southside, Chicago. And 10,569.
You gave me a look. I was like, what happened on Monday?
10,569 fans decided to take the first nice day in Chicago and spend it at a White Sox game. In which the White Sox happened to lose 2-0. The White Sox didn't even score a run for those 10,000 fans. They are right by Lake Michigan. They could go on the beach. They took work off to go to this Monday game.
Yeah.
And they saw no runs.
I actually watched that game, too. It was bad to watch.
Wait, hold on. You were watching that in Davenport's class?
Maybe it wasn't.
Mm.
Yeah, so I feel so bad for them. You spent money on a nice day. And anything you could have done on this beautiful day, you decide to go and watch a White Sox game in which they score no runs.
We've done that multiple times this year, too.
And it's not like the White Sox are like the Dodgers where that just happened. Another shot. But they're bad. And you knew this was coming. This was like a self-harm for 10,000 people. That's concerning.
I thought you were talking about like a Nick Castellanos reference there, Jacob, when you gave that whole storyline. I was like, what happened?
I was so confused.
I was scared. Really confused. He looked at me, he's like, 10,000 people. Like, what happened?
Was the third tower hit?
They washed the White Sox.
Yeah. That's all it was.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to trivia.
Woo!
Welcome to the seventh inning stretch. It's a trivia game. If you get the answer right, you win. If you get the answer wrong, you lose. And die.
All right, guys. Welcome to the seventh inning stretch. You know, the stakes that we just heard are pretty high.
To the ball. Oh, go. Sorry, Jacob.
Evan, you better lock in. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Intense music on the menu. First clue. If you guys aren't familiar with this game, I give the guys at the panel 10 clues about a player. And each time they will have to guess. I won't tell them if they are right or wrong until the very end. But no matter what, you guys have to guess. And if you like a guess, if it fits with the clues, you can keep on going with it. The winner will be whoever guesses it first. All right. First clue. This player has never won a World Series.
That limits the pool quite a bit.
Who is this player?
Is it Miguel Cabrera?
Okay.
Spencer Torkelson.
Shohei Ohtani.
I'll just go CJ Abrams.
Okay. This player, clue number two. This player plays in the outfield. Anyone can guess.
Michael Harris.
Marcell Ozuna.
Is it Jason Hayward?
Matt Vierling.
This player bats right-handed. Clue number three. First two clues are player has never won a World Series. The player plays in the outfield, and they bat right-handed.
Luis Robert.
Charlie Blackman.
Ronald Acuna.
Chad, I might be cooked here.
There's Chad? Just no players Chad. To play in the outfield and bat right-handed.
Give me James Outman.
Okay. Clue number four. This player is from DR. No, I'm just kidding. Clue number four. This player's younger brother went to Nova Southeastern University.
Where's that located?
So we haven't guessed right, right? Like,
no, you could have guessed right.
Oh, I could have guessed right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you until the end.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to stop us if we did. But.
No. You guys won't know till the very end. But if you like your guess, if you think it fits.
Okay, just keep spamming it.
Keep on doing it.
All right, give me James Allman all the way now.
What university did he go to?
Nova Southeastern University.
This player's brother.
Yes.
Little or older?
Come on, give it a guess.
Yeah, can we get that? Was it little or older brother?
I don't know. Thank you. Okay. I didn't look into this that much.
It is a brother, we can't confirm. Okay.
Ben Zobist?
Zach, you're about to run out of time.
I don't even have a guess.
I'm okay.
Straight up high.
Well,
I'm
that's
lost.
A good guess. No guess.
Billy Hamilton.
Okay.
You already said Outman again, right?
Well, he bats lefty. I just realized that. So he kind of throws it out. All
right. Well, this player was born on March 4th, 1992. Okay. Making them 32 years old. 32. Evan, what are you looking at on the computer?
I'm looking at Baseball Reference, my friend. What are you doing?
Whoa! Disqualification!
What is everyone else looking at?
I'm looking at a cute little puppy.
I'm looking at Nova Scotia, wherever we said.
All right, Evan, well, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to guess, and then you have no guess. 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, sorry, time's up. Anybody have a guess?
Nick Castellanos.
Did Prince Fielder win a World Series? I don't know. Did he play outfield?
I think he hurt his neck before he could even get to a World Series.
He also bats left.
I'm done with this. I'm done with this, bro.
Okay. Clue number 6. This player has facial hair.
Nick Castellanos.
JD Martinez.
Mookie Betts.
Betts won a World Series.
Seeing if you were paying attention.
Jeez. I'll go with McCutcheon.
This player's wife's name is Jessica. Clue number 7.
Ninja?
Nick Castellanos.
I'm
riding this.
You're just belting out Nick. All right. He's got
I like McCutcheon. I'm going to ride with McCutcheon.
I'll go with Acuña again. I'm totally lost.
I'm going to agree with Aiden here.
I think McCutcheon?
Yeah. Give us what we want.
McCutch. All right. Clue number 8. This player was a 2023 All-Star.
Was McCutcheon an All-Star?
McCutcheon,
I don't think
an
he
all-star.
Was.
It might have been a pity one, but I doubt it. Okay, never won a World Series. Never won a World Series. It's got to be someone.
Starling Marte?
Does he have a beard?
I love that message of the clue. Does he have a beard?
I'm trying to think of anyone with facial hair.
That's definitely not a Yankee, I could tell you that much.
Yeah.
I'm going to concur with Nick here and go with Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, let's ride with Nick Castellanos.
Nick's like our only good guess.
Oh, I got it. What's his face? No, he wasn't.
You definitely don't
get it. I was going to say Jesse Winker, but that was 22. That wasn't 23. So I'll go with Jesse Winker. I'll just go with it.
Maybe you were wrong.
Maybe I was wrong.
Evan, you got a guess? Oh, wait, you don't. All right. Clue number 9. This player played for the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh my God, it's Jesse Winker, isn't it? That's my guess.
Yeah,
Jesse Winker.
I'd agree.
Nick Castellanos did too.
I agree. Nick Castellanos also played.
Okay.
Oh, this is tough.
We are between Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos.
Wait, Jesse Winker bats left too, guys.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
So it's Castellanos.
It's Castellanos.
Thanks for telling me now after I was so hyped.
Okay. It's clue number 10. This is the one that sets the whole stage. Will determine if it shatters your dreams or if you guys can get it right. Clue number 10. Quote from myself.
What?
I wouldn't say this is a clutch hitter, but he seems to get the big hits at just the right time.
That's Nick Castellanos.
Nick Castellanos.
Well done.
Rip
yeah.
OJ, man. Give me Nick Castellanos.
What clue gave that to you on, like, hint
so
two?
I looked up
baseball players that are 32 years old.
Google it. Get this man out of here.
And Nick Castellanos happened to be there.
First of all, there was no rules that we cannot use our resources to look up.
There's no rules.
I don't have random memorized United States players
that
or random
32 years old.
Players
yeah.
You don't go to Jeopardy and say, hang on, what's your face? Let me Google it real quick what the answer is.
The Nova Scotia Southeast University. There's a difference. Like, what on earth? Like...
Yeah, when you guessed that clue five, I'm like, damn. Evan, you said, I swear if this is Nick Castellanos before we started this.
Oh,
you
man.
Know you said that. I'm like,
why? I'm a mind reader.
I'm like,
definitely.
Damn, you just,
I was so
you just
confident
got it.
With Winker, too. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's a bad right, by the way.
I was so
yeah,
enough
Nick
by the
just,
clue.
Like, deflate
I was,
the room.
He got in my head with calling me out about using baseball reference. You
I
see,
didn't realize.
I didn't know. I didn't realize
all-star?
You could use resources. He didn't ever
just
specify.
I know.
There
I,
was
like,
no.
Okay, so we discussed this last week. We have a scoreboard, right? So Evan got it right last week. He was the first one to guess it. He has a one. Okay, and then you guys all got it right, the pilot episode. So it's 1-1-1-1-2. Now, we got to make a decision because Nick got this pretty early on, and then Zach joined in at, like, clue 7. But still,
Nick
is our
Nick
subject.
Grabs it first.
But he used an outside reference.
Yeah, so chat ban him. Like, get him out of here.
Like, this is fair. This is fair.
I was too. I was using
Nick.
It the whole time.
Exactly.
You
were the only one not using it.
Yeah, I feel like if I could just Google everything you tell me and I can get it right, so... No shade, Nick, but...
Hey.
I just...
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
We were all
Jury's back. We have decided to give Nick... Half a point.
Okay.
I just
and we are going to give Aiden a quarter of a point.
What did Aiden do?
Used his mind.
Yes. That's fair
time.
And square.
I don't have an encyclopedia of
it talks
every
to me when you get
0.25.
He didn't have anything, and you agreed with his guess up until guess 9.
Yeah, because you were giving me 4 seconds, so I couldn't think that fast. By the time I could think of something, anyway.
Okay, that's...
I'm putting a P in the air for protest
Evan,
in the commissioner's office.
Don't worry, Evan. You're still first.
Do
we're
you want
0.0145
no,
of my
I don't want your participation.
Are
points.
We just trading points now?
Can we do a trade point?
Okay, well, let's just move on to our next segment. So, I put on the show sheet, schedule dilemma. You guys probably have no idea what that means.
Yeah, thank God.
My schedule of like final exam dilemmas?
I just wanted to start off with, it is April.
Yeah, you really ghosted me there.
Yeah,
it is,
Evan,
it
I
is April.
Do not care about your exams. Okay, it is April. Mid-April. The Tigers, I talk about them a lot because they're the team I pay the most attention to, but they had a 6 o'clock game, 6:40 game against the Texas Rangers. And then had a 1 o'clock game on Tuesday, a 1 o'clock game on Wednesday, and a 1 o'clock game on Thursday. Yep. Now, it wasn't like Boston, who had an early game on Monday because it was, I think it's Patriots Day. It's the Boston Marathon, which they do that. It's a special thing for Boston, so people go to the games. But the Tigers do this, and some other northern teams do it, because it's too cold. They have to make it comfortable for the fans to have it at a 1 o'clock game. They had 3 straight 1 o'clock games during the week, and school's not even out. So, my question to you is, also, I wanted to pose this out.
Okay.
Viewership for the 2023 Fall Classic, also known as the World Series, was the lowest average since 2020, which was COVID and a fake World Series.
No.
Okay, it dropped from 23% from last year's World Series. It averaged about 11.45 million viewers in Game 5, but it averaged just about 4.45 million viewers across Fox, TBS, and ESPN, which was down 8% from last season. What the studies show is that World Series games are getting less and less watched. What is this reason? Because football is growing, and that is a prime time for college football, for NFL football. Sunday night football will always beat out an MLB postseason game. That's just how America is. That's how we've translated. So, I guess I'm not giving a proposition, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. In April, it seems like we can't play baseball, or at least meaningful baseball that people care about. The Tigers are averaging about like 7,000 fans during the week. And these other teams are just not even close to that either. Nobody seems to care about baseball until Memorial Day. Opening day week is awesome, and then it's nerds who pay attention to it and nobody else. In the postseason, it is us nerds who pay attention to it and nobody else. When baseball is at its prime time, nothing is better than postseason baseball 100%. Because the Dodgers never win. What? Okay, I'm done.
White Sox never make it.
You can't even get in.
What
does Vinny Sen say? You can't even get into the club on our side. Tigers fans.
What? Excuse me? Was that Spanish?
It's been a minute. But I guess this is not my viewpoint. But do you think Major League Baseball would have more success if it started Memorial Day and ended Labor Day?
I have to think about a calendar in my head now because I guess I can't use my laptop, so I gotta...
Memorial Day is about mid-May, mid to late May. We could start a week earlier, I'm just saying around that time. And Labor Day is just before the beginning of September.
I'm actually very passionate about this. It could start whenever you want. Start and end whenever you want. There needs to be less games. Mm-hmm. It is. We do not need April baseball in Detroit with nobody in the stands. It's ridiculous. 160, it's way too many. You make it 100 even, and every game means 50% more.
Let me make a count. Okay, go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, baseball owns the summer. And the fact that it's played every day is awesome because there's nothing else going on. So I love that baseball can be played every day, but that doesn't mean that you need to extend it to 162. Now, I know they make more money because more games means more money, and if players can play more games, you're going to want them to play more games. This is what the NFL is doing.
You got to pay the Dodgers somehow.
That's true.
I'm going to walk out.
Another diss.
I feel bad. I'm sorry. That's just them, too.
So do you don't care when they start. So if it started in April, you wouldn't care. You just want less games.
I guess I should rephrase that. I think Memorial Day is probably a good spot. You know, maybe May 1st. I think that would work just fine.
Because opening day represents the blossoming of spring, mm-hmm. and you would kind of lose that if you're in May. But I just feel like the World Series is such a cool event. But everyone's so caught up in football. If you make it just before football, that could be the peak of sports. Everyone's like, let's watch the World Series, and then after we go immediately into NFL football. I think one that would fix the ratings for the World Series, which would then make it more money. The question is, can that cover missing over really 2 months of baseball?
No, I think the solution here is continuing to stay in April and also having games at 6:40 instead of 1 p.m., yes, I know the cameras caught that, Aiden. Thank you. but instead of 1 o'clock every day when you have 7,000 people, wait till like 6:40 or 7 o'clock when people get out of work. Because the reason people go to opening day is because it's a holiday in their town when their team's there, right? They can't get there when they're at work. But the way they get ratings, too, to answer your question about the World Series... is this. I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
That's a big point there, Evan.
Make that a reel.
That's going on Instagram.
Well, he was saying that you can't play later in the day because it gets cold.
That's the concern. Early. Because it doesn't make sense. Why are they playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday?
I get what I was saying. Okay, so the marketing. Emma, if you look at their Twitter accounts, if you look at their Instagram, what teams are they marketing?
Dodgers, Yankees, Braves.
Big brands. Yeah.
How can they get more involved? We talked about this in our pilot episode a little bit. How can they get more involved in marketing in between stories, like telling stories about players instead of just posting a final score photo or posting this? That might keep people more interested. Or if you look at what the NFL does when the Super Bowl comes on sometimes, they have a Nickelodeon broadcast, right? That gives ratings... to the kids, because people that might not know baseball get to explain baseball or get explained football to them.
So SpongeBob's going to explain to me how a slider works?
Sure. it could work.
It's gone, slime.
No, I'm just thinking about Patrick Starr. He's like apologizing the broadcast, and Nicholas Castellanos is up to bat. And you got Patrick apologizing. He's like, hoping there's a drive in the deep left field. I'm
just sorry, SpongeBob. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. There's a deep drive by Castellanos.
Oh my goodness,
Patrick.
That, I would watch. Oh my. I would. I even did this for the Super Bowl. I would watch a Nickelodeon World Series, unless it's the Dodgers. Any other team, 10 times out of 10, I'm watching Nickelodeon. So I think it's a great way to introduce people to the sport, and it could totally drive viewership.
But would you do it all seven games? Because think about it, the Super Bowl is only a one. The World Series, you have a possible game of seven. I don't know, unless you're really a nerdy kid that likes wanting to learn about baseball. I don't know if you really want to sit there and watch Patrick and SpongeBob explain to you a baseball for a new game every day, because it might be a new viewer watching it too.
Yeah, well, that really gives you the choice. I think it's just up to you, and they can like decide that. But I just think I don't want to watch the Diamondbacks and Rangers. Sorry. I mean, the first game was great.
Yep.
That first game was awesome. But then the rest of the series, I'd rather have Patrick tell me how a off-speed pitch works. And I just, I think Nickelodeon is the way to go. That's how we boost viewership here.
That's our solution.
That's Bob it is.
Nickelodeon.
Why did that even get brought up? Like, we were discussing schedule, and we're just like, Nickelodeon.
Well, you were talking about ratings in a World Series.
Yeah, okay. But does Nickelodeon really boost the Super Bowl that much?
I don't have the Viacom numbers.
Wait,
in front
Aiden,
of me.
You said you watched the Super Bowl on Nickelodeon, right? Yeah, or you said you would.
Yeah, I did. I watched some of it, yeah.
Okay. So it's not just kids. It's like,
well, it's losers
Okay, we gotta think about this. So do any of you guys watch the Premier League?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Me.
Okay.
L.
Like I want to get into it, but...
I need to find a team to watch.
Okay,
first.
Okay.
First
that's,
of all, you got to get Peacock.
That's something
that
about
problem.
Kids.
I got Peacock.
Kids want to get into the MLB, maybe, hopefully. So, do we think if the Premier League was on Nickelodeon, would you watch it?
Oh, that... No.
That's a good question, yeah. Because...
That's how we have to view it.
Baseball and Premier League are kind of the same speed. There's a lot of stoppage in Premier League when it's a corner kick or Anthony Taylor's trying to figure out who to... give a red card to because he can't figure that one out, but that's a different story for another day. Exactly. Okay, so Anthony Taylor, folks, is in the Premier League. He is the equivalent of the Angel Hernandez of Major League Baseball. He, one, just doesn't know how to call a game, and two, he makes things up on the spot.
So, Evan, how does this have to do with Nickelodeon and baseball?
Don't know. Someone asked me a question about umpire.
Okay, so the main point is Premier League on Nickelodeon, which isn't happening. We just made it up. That's our equivalent to how non-baseball people would see baseball on Nickelodeon. And we said we wouldn't watch the Premier League if it was on Nickelodeon, even if SpongeBob SquarePants was describing how Harry Kane is just... an amazing football player.
He is not an amazing football player. Erling Haaland all the way, baby.
Evan, shut up.
Kylian Mbappe.
This is baseball, baby.
You don't even know who Erling Haaland is. Is that true?
Man City.
Thank
and
you.
A
good
deep drive by Castellanos.
give him a bonus point in trivia.
He has the man bun, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The long hair man bun. Yeah, everything.
Guys, this is a baseball podcast,
yeah, we need
by the way.
Reel it back in.
All right, so... I guess the question still stands. How do we fix baseball to get its ratings up? Is it a schedule fix like I proposed, or is it something else?
Simulcasting games like on True TV, maybe with other analysts and saying, talking instead of the main announcing crew, maybe going into more storytelling on like TBS or FS1 if it's on Fox for the World Series.
So... I guess the question would be, if you go to alternate broadcast crews, would that help even if it's in October? How do we get them to shy away from football? Because the World Series, you can't control the schedule. You need to play about with 1 to 2 days rest.
Yep.
If it falls on a Sunday night, it falls on a Sunday night. If it falls on a Saturday, it falls on a Saturday. It's just how it is.
You also have the NHL season basically starting there. You have the NBA season starting there.
It is the... one of the pinnacles of sports, that time frame. It is maybe the worst time that you can have a World Series.
I think there's too much of a stigma around baseball. It's going to be, it's, I don't want to say impossible, but
there's people that aren't going to watch baseball no matter what we do to it. I mean, we could
even if you make it a 2-minute game, like
I think the problem is there were people watching baseball and now they aren't.
Okay, but those are the same people that watch cricket and say baseball's too long, but cricket takes 3 days. So
I think blackouts are another huge problem that are destroying the sport. I mean, every other day I'm on Twitter and I see, can't watch the Braves game, or the other day people, they were, Bally chose to show the Pistons game instead of the Tigers game. So it's just like, hey, blackouts, Rob Manfred, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to get rid of blackouts and I want you to step down.
That might be, that's another topic. Because,
well, even then, people in Iowa, they do not have an MLB team. Mm-hmm. Most of them root for the Cubs, the Cardinals, or maybe even the Royals.
Pray
it's a mix. And they can't watch any of those games because of the blackout laws, which is ridiculous. Wait,
they can't?
Really? They can't.
No, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's awful.
That's so dumb.
They can watch the Field of Dreams game, though, when it comes there.
Yeah. Live.
They can watch the Iowa Cubs or AAA team.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, how do you grow the sport if you can't even show it to people?
It's horrible. That's, like, the number one thing that... If you want to fix it at all, it's getting rid of blackouts.
Yep.
Once you do that, I think you'll see some people interested.
I think that relates to the Bally court case that has been ongoing for the last year and a half, and hence why the Padres are not on Bally anymore. They're produced by Major League Baseball because they want to get more of their foliage to get it. But there's also the problem. You have four different teams on that where they're – team, you're having to buy a package just to watch the team.
Yeah, it's almost like ripping you off, per se, because with Bally Sports Detroit, for example, you get the Red Wings, you get the Pistons, you get the Tigers. But if you buy it just directly through that, most of it's at the same pricing, which can lead some people off to want to buy it. Which, I mean, that's the case there. I mean, you also saw it with the Suns, how they made their own, like, broadcast network. They didn't go through the NBA, I don't think. And you might see some MLB teams make it, because especially, like, the Cardinals, like, them and the Braves are the only teams in the South, really, that people give a rip about. And so, the South, like, have you watched SEC baseball? It's huge. It's
ball
big.
Ball eight, ball eight.
And that's why the Cardinals and the Braves are just so, they're such big teams down there, because that's the only teams really people can gravitate towards. Because, I mean, you don't have a baseball team in Carolina, huge. You don't have it in Mississippi, Alabama, and that's where they go to. And if you have these blackout laws, it doesn't help when you have maybe the most passionate baseball fans location-wise, and you can't serve them games. It's pretty disappointing.
Takes a population away. If you can't have Iowa, what are they going to do? Watch their corn grow?
Iowa,
that's just
dude.
Disrespectful.
They got to watch a crappy football team.
We aren't disrespecting Iowa. We love Iowa. We want you guys to watch baseball.
And I think you also have to look at what the NFL does really well, right? There's less games. They have red zone is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone loves red zone. You could try something like that. The less games would make it way better. It doesn't help if you can't watch it, but the NFL means so much. Every game means so much. You cut it down to 100 games. It's never going to happen. It's a fever dream. It'll never happen, sadly. You cut it down to 100 games, and the intensity is way, way higher, and I think it would be much more fun to watch.
Well, what is the most intense baseball? It's postseason baseball, mm-hmm. when every game matters. Even though it's a 7-game series, it's played at a high level, and then opening day series. And maybe, like, the last few series if you're trying to get into the playoffs. But the reason why opening day is so big is because you have nothing else to lean back towards. If the Braves lose a game in August, does it matter? They still have a 10-game lead in the East. But in opening day, everyone is tied, which makes the game so much bigger, which is why it's so successful. And then that kind of dwindles down as the season progresses. And so, as you mentioned, if you lessen the games, you make them more impactful. But the thing is, like, they're never going to do it. Because if you can put on 162 games, no matter if only 3,000 people show up, that is 3,000 people that you wouldn't get if you'd never had that game, which is more tickets you can sell. It's more of a profit. And plus, you have people tuning into TV. Even if it's not a lot, even if it's not what the MLB wants to see, it's still a profit, which is why they will probably keep on doing it.
You just can't ask someone to watch 162 games of baseball in a season, especially someone who doesn't like baseball as much as a person who loves it. You're trying to get the average Joe. He's not going to watch 162 games. So you got to drop. I would say drop down, do NBA, NHL 82, maybe 90, 100, 162. I didn't watch the Dodgers game today, guys. I hate to break it to you. I didn't watch it today. There's too many games. You got to drop it down.
Yeah, we're the nerds, right? Yeah. We watch more than a lot of other people. And it's so hard to keep up with your home team. And that's not even the entire league. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. It's hard to do.
We're the nerds that watch the stat podcast, baseball podcast of a postseason game.
It's just nuts. Like, even we can't even keep up with it. But our MLB owns the summer, right? Mm-hmm. And so they dominate, which they can put games on every single day, and that is the only thing on, and people are like, hey, let's go to the ballpark. It's nice. Let's do it. That's when they own the sport. But when we talk about these later games, these colder games, it's harder to attract fans because is that really baseball? I know October baseball. I love October baseball. I really do. But if the I would also love it if baseball got a lot more attention that I think it can get.
I mean, there have been some World Series that go into November. That's absolutely absurd.
This one went into November.
November
7th. We do not need baseball past Thanksgiving. Halloween. That is not like
no.
Almost
Thanksgiving.
We don't need Halloween baseball. That's not. I love the game, but no.
Can you imagine if we had 100 games, every game was competitive, and then. Because I feel a reason why you put a 7-game series is because you can't just have a one and done. Because you play 162 games, you lose a game, and that's it. Like, you can't have that.
They tried that, and everyone hated it. Yeah.
So, I mean, you could do it with wildcard teams, because should they be there to begin with, you can make that argument. But, like, if we've seen so many teams just drop the first game of the series, that's not an indicator. But if you lessen it to 100 games, maybe you can make it, like, a 5-game series. And that really, it doesn't matter if it's game 7 or game 5. As long as it's a game where both teams are even and both teams can win and whoever wins moves on or whoever wins the whole thing, that's what's important. It does, like if it was they made a game 3-game series in the playoffs and both teams were tied 1-1 and game 3 decided it, I'm telling you that would get the same amount of viewers as game 7 because it has the same amount of implications. It doesn't matter that it's called game 7 that people are like, "Yeah, let's do it" because of that. Now, it makes it a better series if you can have a 7-game series and get to game 7, but now that just it rarely happens.
I think with the playoff chases too, most years by August 1st, you know who majority of the playoff teams are. How many years are there really like down to the last series, like really intense? We still don't know who's going to make it. By August, you know, majority, 90% of the playoff teams.
It used to be under the old schedule when we had more division games. It would be sometimes a battle till the last day. I remember quite a few times when the Tigers were decent, it would be a Guardians-Tigers battle, and whoever won the game wins the AL Central. Those, I think it's part of the problem with now you have to play, what, all the teams in Major League Baseball, which makes the schedule a little bit more unnecessary in a sense, too, because there might not be completely, sure, every win is a win, if you look at for playoff's sake, wild card and division is really what gets you in.
That's true. I mean, because I love what they did. Like, I love that they play every single team now because I've complained about it for years that these National League, how are you going to grow the game if you can't get the National League stars into your home city? Now you guarantee that every 2 years, which I love. Mm-hmm. But to your point, you play less AL, or for the Tigers at least, they would play less American League Central games, which makes the implications of each game, even though it's a lot, like, I don't, because whenever, because we haven't been in a pennant chase in a while, whenever you play an AL Central team, it's kind of boring because you've seen these teams so many times, and plus the AL Central's bad, but it still, it doesn't matter. I feel like any division matchup really lacks that, because who would you rather watch? Dodgers. Okay, I'm actually gonna pick a good.
I got my vote.
Dodgers, Giants, or Dodgers, Phillies.
I mean, kind of biased here with the rivalry at the Dodgers and Giants, but I love the Phillies, so I do. I don't hate Dodgers, Phillies.
Like you've seen the Dodgers and Giants enough. Okay, yeah. Here's another one: New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, a big rivalry. Would you rather see that, or would you rather see the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers?
See, I'd rather see the New York Yankees and the Dodgers there.
Yeah.
Because we see, it feels like every other day, on if I go on ESPN Sunday Baseball,
every I'm Sunday seeing night I'm watching
New York
Yankees,
Boston Red Sox.
It's just like, it's repetitive. It's a great rivalry, but I like that it's slimmed down a little bit. But it also has its consequences because now the divisions aren't as tight because you're not playing each other as much. You're not evening that out, so to say. And, it's just lacking that effort, that love that you could get if you lessen the season.
It does hurt the rivalries having such a long game. I mean, the Padres-Dodgers is a really good rivalry. We started the season in Korea with them. And guess what? We just played 3 games with them. Guess what? Next week, you're going to play 4 more. It's like, you're shoving this rivalry down our throats. You cut the games down, the rivalry is going to mean a lot more.
That's the weird that you say that, too, because I've noticed, for example, the Tigers don't really play the Guardians till next month. But you've mentioned there the Dodgers play the Padres 4 times already at this point?
Yeah, we've already had 2 series with the
But does that mean, Padres. Is that because MLB knows, okay, Padres, Dodgers, key names.
They do want to push that. They want to push that. It feels like they are, ever since Tatis, they really want to push that matchup. Padres fans at least want it.
Yeah.
They want to, they're not on our level, but they wish they were.
Okay, so here's an observation I've made.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt your conversation, but the NFL, that is the key of American sports. What do they have going for them? Shorter games, not shorter games, like shorter season with the amount of games. Season's still the same length, but you play once a week. MLB, if they did play once a week, it wouldn't work. No. I would hate it.
No.
If you're in the summer and it's the only sport and you play on Saturdays, it would be awful.
Yep.
Even if you like mixed it up, like Tigers play on Monday, Yankees play on Tuesday, it would still be awful. I like all the teams playing at once. Now, you can still shorten the season to make every game more impactful. That could happen. Number 2, why the NFL is so successful is because the draft. You draft a player, and they play for your team immediately. Mm-hmm. MLB, you can't fix that. That's just the way it works. We have a minor league system that is good for these players' development, and it's a different sport. You can't jump into the major leagues right away. The level from college to majors is bigger than the NFL gap, and it's just a different game, something that we cannot fix. Another reason the NFL is so successful is their playoffs are one-game eliminations. This is also why March Madness is so successful, because every game is do or die.
Mm.
Now, if the MLB were to do that, I also wouldn't like it, because you would just have a random cluster of a World Series winner. It already kind of feels that way, but you can get behind it if you play through these long series. Now, what if they cut the series down, maybe less playoff games, but you would have more of those game 3, game 5 type of games?
You know, that might raise the stakes a little bit too, because having game 7, I feel like that gives teams sometimes more padding. If they lose the first 2, they know they have more games to come back from. If they have a game of 5, you only need a set of 3, you only or 5, you only need to win 3.
That's true. It's it definitely sets up more closer matchups, per se, because each playoff game would then mean more.
But it would in a seven. And it also leads to what the MLB has been doing with expansion too. The playoffs, I think, every year you add 2 or 3 more teams too, which makes wild card weekend extra long. When originally wild card weekend was the best 4 teams on each side, and now it's 8 teams that come out of each side on wildcard weekend?
Yeah,
and you play 3 games now instead of 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it draws it out more. I don't know. What did you guys think of the wildcard prior when it was just 1 game?
I loved it. Single elimination, it makes teams have to fight for everything. Use all the pitching staff. And it kept my attention. Instead, if a team loses their first game, you know they still have 2 more cracks at it.
Yeah, so what I So when I first heard that it expanded to three-game series, I was like, okay, so that's pretty cool. We have a home, away, home. But it's all at home. So because that's what I thought about the wild card. I'm like, man, like one game is separating these teams, and a home like field advantage, especially in a wild card game when you know it's going to be a packed house, towels are going to be flaring around everywhere. Like that is a big advantage. I'm like, okay, maybe this evens it out. But that's not the case. Whoever has the better record gets all three games at home, and they end up with just winning in two anyway, which doesn't make it exciting. You don't get that single game elimination that you might in a wild card round prior. So, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Another thing that makes the NFL really successful is they do a great job marketing their players.
They do.
The NBA also does a great job marketing their players, but the thing that the NBA struggles with is their players' efforts. Hockey does a terrible job marketing their players, but you never question the players' efforts. MLB, I think it's fair to say that all players give a good effort because a lot of those players are trying to fight for spots to stay on the team. It's less so guaranteed in baseball that you stay up on the roster than it is in other sports. So I don't question the players' efforts, even if they look bad. Like, none of them want to fail. None of them want to go out there and just mosey around. But what do we think about the marketing for the star players?
It's over the top. All you see is a Shohei Ohtani commercial, or all you see is a Mike Trout commercial every 10 seconds. If you were to ask a baseball fan that doesn't watch baseball fan on a regular like us, if they would name, I don't know, six Tigers players, could you do it? Do you think they could do it? No, because they don't market those players. And that could be a specific organization thing too, whether
Here's a question to you. We agree that the NBA does a great job marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to pick a mid-level. Can you name four Atlanta Hawks?
No, I don't follow NBA, so no.
Okay, so wouldn't that be the same case for someone who doesn't follow MLB?
Correct.
So it's not necessarily bad that they don't know six market or Tiger players, because I don't know why they would market six Tiger players. I don't think there are six Tiger players worth marketing. The question is, do they do a good job marketing the stars for you to watch? Because the NBA is like, Steph Curry, he's insane at shooting. That makes you want to watch Steph Curry play. Do they do it? They say Shohei Ohtani, they say Ronald Acuna Jr. Do they do a good job making you, okay, I want to watch this guy play?
No, and I think that honestly relates to the media networks that cover it too. MLB Network or ESPN. Oh, what does ESPN talk about when they come to baseball? They really just show the highlights, right? They don't. But if you compare that to NBA, every 2 seconds I'm hearing LeBron this, LeBron.
It's storylines.
It's storylines rather than gameplay. And I think the way you could expand on that is by networks, by saying, okay, MLB Network, you have an hour to do quick pitch or high heat or whatever it might be. Talk about a specific storyline within the team. Don't just say, okay, the team scored 9 runs in a third, the highest run, whatever it might be.
I think what the MLB should do is like have like actually more than one primetime game a week, so like to watch these good games. Because what the NBA does a good job is like they have LeBron and stuff, and like they're gonna play Wednesday night. MLB only has Sunday night baseball, so they have like other nights too, like a Tuesday random night where there's a live broadcast game, like a primetime game that everyone has, so you don't have to just get MLB Network.
I have a follow-up question for you there, Nick. Okay, so let's say you do that, right?
Yeah.
Would you put a doubleheader there as like a 7 to 10? Because sometimes you see the NBA do a Wednesday NBA marquee game type thing, let's market our players, or even not even a marquee player. You have two games on, okay, the Bucks, Warriors, and then you have Spurs, whatever. Would you put two different games from two different divisions or two different rivals? Because it doesn't always have to be a rival game for the audience to be interested as much as the national audience tries to get it to be.
Just like two like random teams, but they have like marketable players you put on so everyone can see them play.
The thing that's good about the MLB is you could do a triple hitter if you wanted to. Because there's getaway days, there's 1 o'clock games, and there's days that aren't. Because you'll have 4-game series going from Monday to Thursday, or even you'll have Tuesday to Thursday sometimes, and then you'll have some go Monday to Wednesday. So you could have a team play at 1 o'clock, and then you could have another team play at 7, and then you could have a West Coast team play at 10. This is what the NBA does, but they are only limited to doubleheaders because they don't play a game on the during the week past like or earlier than 7 o'clock.
I guess the problem with that, Jacob, relies to the what if. Let's go to the weather, right? NBA plays inside. Mm-hmm. Hockey, for the most part, they play inside besides for Winter Classic or etc. MLB is mostly outdoors.
Yep.
And if you have a rain delay, then that push it, you can't push back the triple header that you have scheduled, and then you lose audience because you have to push the game to ESPN2 because the other game's not finished, or it moves to ESPN Plus or ESPN News, whatever it might be. Then you're losing audience there.
What do they do on Sunday Night Baseball when it's in a rain delay? Do they just talk about the teams
and
that's it?
They either talk about the teams or they run a Sports Center show like a 30 for 30. Or if there's like another league game on that they feel is important, they'll go to that and then say on like the bottom like ticker thing in yellow, rain delay, we'll have updates for you when we get them. And then they'll show a Sports Center or they'll show a 30 for 30 on the main channel.
I mean, that might be dicey to do, but I agree with that. I still think that's a good idea to put in place because especially with the blackouts, like, there's barely any MLB games nationally televised. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what helps the NFL is all their games are really nationally televised. I mean, regional, but still most of them you can get on a wide variety. Like, there's always a game on CBS. There's always a game on Fox. And so the MLB, they only have Sunday Night Baseball. And it's really just the same four teams that just kind of rotate. And so if you could get more variety in there, mm-hmm. I think that would be very helpful.
I think some of this, some of this also falls on the players. You compare it to the NBA, those NBA guys, they crave the spotlight. LeBron, always talking about something. Curry, craves the spotlight. I don't think MLB players are very marketable. It's hard. Shohei is just, it's hard to market him. He's not in the spotlight. Freddie Freeman is not in this. They don't crave that. There's a few players that do. Tatis, I think, kind of does. There's some exceptions to that rule. I think the players do not make it easier on the league and on the social media managers. They're not marketable players.
Yeah, especially Trout, who openly says he just doesn't want to be in the spotlight. Like, that hurts.
That doesn't help the sport.
Trout also
it
likes the weather, too.
Yes. Okay, so the other question I'll have for you there is... You say spotlight about players not wanting to be in the spotlight. They oftentimes on Sunday Night Baseball do a mic'd up segment. Does that feel forced to you guys when they do that? Because it's like, one, distracting the player, and two, it's a regular season game where they're sometimes you hear the pitch comm coming through their microphone because...
I think it's great. What other sport can you have a live mic'd up player during the game? I can't. Think of
with like with that, an earpiece talking to the broadcast
to the announcers. I think that's great.
I love it, but I don't know how it's allowed.
Yeah.
It's a game that counts. It's not like this is during an all-star game when you could just mic them up, like who cares?
It's just but, so that reminds me of an all-star game moment with
Liam Hendricks.
Yes. Yeah. When he
said, I'm not mic'd up, guys.
Said all the explosives in the world on that one.
I mean, could you imagine LeBron up and down the court, dunking it and one, and he's mic'd up. It's like it's good and bad because it kind of, it's like, because then you got people online, it's like, look at this sport. You got people that can talk and have a full-on conversation while playing the sport. It's not really a sport. So it's like good and bad, I think.
Well, the thing is, too, where NBA, the thing you're talking about there, NBA, I know TNT does it. They have a little mic'd up segment where you don't hear him the entire time. He's not talking to the announcers. You hear like a inside the tracks or whatever, and it goes to
the grunt
or the obnoxious.
It's like good pass, AD.
Good pass. Yeah. It feels like you're playing a 2K game in a sense. So I don't know how you really want to push that into marketing either, because yes, we've gotten to the point where they want to be in the spotlight, but is it more of a distraction to the viewer at the same time of what you're watching?
Stephen A. talked about it a little bit, and he got criticized for it. It's hard to market Shohei. He's not a marketable player when the guy can't speak English. It's kind of hard. He got hate for it, but I kind of agree with him. You can't have him go on Good Morning America and talk about the game and expand and advertise the game when he has to have another guy. And you're like, who's this guy? Why should I care about Ippy the interpreter? Sorry, sore subject. Why should I care about this interpreter when he doesn't play baseball, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's like, it's just, it's hard. It's very hard. A lot of these guys can't. I didn't know the other day, and Ellie couldn't speak English until the other day.
I didn't know that either.
So it's like, it's really hard.
And I think with some of these other sports, their top players have reached celebrity status. Mahomes is a celebrity. Curry is a celebrity. The MLB does not have that. Trout is not a celebrity. He could deliver a pizza to most people's houses and they would not have a clue who he is.
Yeah. They do those. Not,
Michael, your delivery man.
Yeah, like they would not have. They're not at that status, and that I don't know how we get them there.
You ever see those undercover athlete videos where they have a player doing just that, where they'll have an NBA player going out to go visit that, and they'll have a Major League Baseball player, and the people will be like, "Didn't recognize you," but NBA players are like, "I have an odd suspicion." Or even, you in the red were that.
Even then, like, NBA players, like, they have to put on, like, wigs and disguises. Like, MLB, like, you just...
Jake Berger looks like a regular dude, all right? I'm not going to think that he's an athlete.
A lot of the players don't look like athletes because you can be any shape or size to play baseball.
You can find Daniel Vogelback in a McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, like, he's going to hand you your shake, and you're going to be like, okay, yeah, you work here. And then he's going to go play nine. It's
but,
like,
if you see, like, Myles Garrett in the street or even an NBA player who's, like, 6'8", like, you're going to notice. So I think that's where we can recap the episode. It was... pretty fantastic episode. We talked about haps and craps. We went into trivia. If you guys want to play along, you can rewind to that segment.
On Twitter, you can play I'm With, and then you can see.
Yeah, I'm With, hashtag whoever you thought could have got it right first. Here's a little hint. There's a deep drive to left. And then we talked about schedule. Yeah, we might cut that out. All right, then we talked about the schedule dilemma and how we fix Major League Baseball to get those ratings up. Is Nickelodeon the answer? Is marketing the stars better than just having them appear like a pizza delivery guy? There's a lot we talked about in that segment. And we're happy that you guys joined us for episode 3 of Big League Chewers. If you haven't already, please follow the Instagram page at @BigLeague_Chewers. A huge thanks to Impact Sports and a thanks to the guys at the panel, Evan, Nick, Zach, Aiden, and myself. That concludes episode 3 of Big League Chewers. Thank you for tuning in.
Bring back the whales.
Hashtag bring back the whales.
Just ads, yeah.